So I know of clarification about this episode. So Mo and I were talking about the gay bar Sidetracks in Midtown Sacramento. And so I mispronounce it a number of times. And so I apologize for that. I'm still new. Still trying to figure out the names of things. Words mean things as well. And the official name of the bar is Sidetracks with an X. One word. Sidetracks. Thanks.
Honestly, like, I don't do it for people to pat me on the back. I don't do it for any of that. Like, I literally have this experience. I was unhoused myself at some point. And so, like, if I didn't have folks to, like, drag me through it, like, I don't know where I would be. And so, like, I feel like I'm basically glad that I can give back. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Welcome to Queer Sacramento, a podcast about the lives of LGBTQ plus people, businesses, and events in and around the capital city of California, Sacramento. I'm your host, Michael Q. I am a certified and licensed massage therapist, professional stage actor, and owner of Q's Massage Studio, body positive massage therapy, right here in the Lavender Heights district of Midtown. All right, so on today's podcast, we have Mo Copeland. So first, Mo, can you tell us your pronouns?
Pronouns, he, him, his, the he series.
Okay, all right, come on. The he series. Yes. So, and Mo works with the Sacramento LGBT Center. And so I wanted to have Mo on because, full disclosure, I know Mo because we both have been a part of like Sacramento Gay Men's Chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And he's awesome. So I just had to have him on. Of course. Yeah.
Thanks, girl.
Yeah, all right. So where are you originally from? If you're not from Sacramento, where are you originally from?
Okay.
And how long have you been in Sacramento?
Yeah, so I'm from New Jersey. I'm from South Jersey specifically. I'm closer to Philadelphia. I've come by way of Delaware, New Mexico, and then moved here to Sacramento. I moved here in December of 2017. So a little bit shy of 3 years.
Okay, so it's interesting. So for me, I actually lived in, I don't know if you knew, but I lived in Jersey City.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I mean, I only lived there for a couple months, and okay. I ran out of money and came back home.
Okay.
That's me trying to live the actor dream, you know,
yes.
Going to New York, being on the Broadway. So
right.
I did that in 2013. Okay. So I was there in 2013, and I was actually closer to Bayonne, so I was right further down. But yeah, I know all about Journal Square. It was all about the PATH train,
yes.
Did the things, and loved it. I mean, I loved, you know, New York is awesome.
Right.
So you said you live here for 3 years, you said?
Almost 3 years. Well, it'll be 3 years in December. So actually, so 2 years to be for real, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's crazy because, like I was mentioning off camera, off the podcast, I didn't realize that you had been here for so few years. I don't know why I thought you'd been here. Definitely not like 20 years, not even 10 years, but I guess I didn't know. I don't know, you just don't know.
Right.
That's why I have you on.
Right.
It's like, hello. It's like, yeah. So what made you want to move to Sacramento? Like why here?
Okay, so like I said, I moved from Delaware to New Mexico. New Mexico was really my first like big job. I worked at the University of New Mexico for a few years. And in 2017, I had like a lot of traumatic personal experiences happen.
Mm-hmm.
My father passed away in January. My stepdad passed away in April, same day. So January 15th and April 15th. And at the time, I was so far away from my family because I'm all the way in New Mexico. Everybody's in New Jersey.
Right.
And I had this like epiphany that I was working two jobs. I was working at the school, but I was also working overnight in a group home for adults with special needs. And so I was working 80 hours a week. Right. And I was like, I'm literally working to die. And I was like, I need to get out of here. I need to change, like, you know, I need to change the scenery. I need to change everything. And so
right.
I had a friend on Facebook who had a room open in Elk Grove. And I did no research. I saw that the room was open. I was like, all right, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to move to California. I've always wanted to do it anyway. And mm-hmm. I did it. So I went to my boss and I told her, I had this interview for a job. I had an interview for a job in Rhode Island.
Oh.
Yeah, right. This is my life. I'm like a little nomad. I'm all over the place.
I'm all about it.
And so I was like, hey, I have this job interview for this job in Rhode Island. But if I don't get the job, I'm going to leave regardless in December.
Okay.
And so I didn't get the job in Rhode Island, so sad. But I moved to Elk Grove that December, and I've been here ever since.
And so do you still live in Elk Grove now?
I do still live in Elk Grove.
Okay, so people that don't know, so Elk Grove is like a... I mean, in Ohio, we would call it a suburb. I'm sure they don't call themselves a suburb. But what is... Do they call themselves a suburb?
I mean, I don't know what they... I don't talk to them. Right. I don't know them. Right. I would call it a suburb, yeah.
So it's south of Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And just for people who don't know anything about California, you don't know anything about Sacramento. So it's south of Sacramento, and it's... but it's not that far away.
No.
But it's just... It's like on the outskirts, but it's like on the southern part of Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And so... cool. Well, that's good to know, like, about your life and just kind of where you're from, and yes. That's awesome. So where do you, okay, so what do you do for fun here in Sacramento? So
for fun. Okay, yeah. So as you know, y'all don't know, but you know, we are in Sacramento Gay Men's Chorus, which takes up a lot of time.
It does.
A lot of time that I love and people I love, but it takes up a lot of time. But when I'm not doing that, I like to go to movies. I like to go, I have a lot of talented friends who are in the arts. So either going to see them in a show, going to see their artwork in whatever gala is happening, or seeing them at Sidetrack, sing at karaoke, or sing at piano bar. But a lot of just, like, art. I'm usually at, like, some kind of art event or some kind of, I don't know, some kind of, yeah, some kind of art event.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it sounds like there's a mixture of, like, kind of performance art, mm-hmm. but then you have people that either, like, paint or some sort of, is mm-hmm. that the, okay.
Yep.
Okay. So how did you find, like, these, your friends that are, like, performance artists, like,
the funniest part about all of this, right, is, like, it all stemmed from when I moved to Elk Grove, I had roommates, and I met this guy. His name is Danny. And Danny would always go to, like, piano bar and karaoke, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And those are things that interest me. And so I was like, oh, I'll go with you. And so, like, just through meeting Danny and going to piano bar and going to karaoke, I've met all these people.
Okay, that's cool.
Elizabeth runs karaoke, and she's like, you can sing, you should come to the chorus. And then I go to the chorus, and then that's, you know, 50, 60, 70 other people who are like, oh, I do this, or oh, you should see me in that. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, absolutely. And so it all just stemmed, it stemmed from Danny.
See, that it's one of the things I love also, is that I definitely found that in Columbus, like being in the performing arts community. So when I kind of slowed down being a professional actor, I was just working a normal job in Columbus. And so then you, like, go see local theater shows, and then, like, while you're there, you would talk to other... You just find other actors, you know? Right. You would just kind of... They would be seeing the show with you. They'd be in the seat next to you. You'd start talking. And they're like, hey, I'm going to this special event. Like, I want to talk a little bit about Sidetrack, because that's where, if people are interested in, like, doing this of... What do they call that? Like a sidetrack? What is it called? Is it called open mic? Is it called karaoke? Or what do they call
so, it? Yeah, so Sidetracks does piano bar on Fridays and Sundays. It's just, I guess it's karaoke. But it's just basically, you know, a pianist playing the piano, bring your music. He also has music. Nice and chill atmosphere. And then they have also karaoke, like regular karaoke, and that happens on Friday nights and Saturday nights. Where it's just like, you know, I want to sing this song, and then you go up and you, if drunk or not, you go up there and you sing your song. People are screaming along with you, and it's a good time. Yeah. So yeah.
So the piano bar, is it? Do you find that there's like a group of people that do that every week? Like, it's kind of like that you're probably going to see them every like it's 2 days a week. Like, either they go both days or one day. You just kind of, you all know each other.
There's a solid, like, 5 or 6 folk that are there religiously every Friday and Sunday.
What are the hours? Do you know?
Like, don't have me lying. Let me see. Friday is 5:30 to 8:30.
Okay.
Sunday is 4 to 8.
Okay. And so if people don't know, Sidetrack is a gay bar here in Sacramento. It's in the Midtown area. And But it's also, it's like above another bar, right?
It's above, there used to be, I was told there used to be a restaurant that was down there.
Okay.
And I believe it might be a restaurant, don't quote me on that, but like I think they're gonna refit it to be a restaurant. But it's next to Badlands, so like it's like flesh against Badlands, but there's like an empty store underneath it.
Okay. And so Badlands is another gay bar, and this is in Midtown, so it's kind of near the intersection of what is it, K and 20th?
Yeah.
So K and 20th is kind of like the epicenter of the gaydom. It is like the majority of gay bars in Sacramento are right at K and 20th, and so Sidetrack is just one of like the majority of the gay bars that are at that intersection. But you have to go upstairs, so I guess it's above a restaurant. And yeah, it's a place where it's I've always liked going there because I feel like it's a different vibe.
It is.
Than a lot of the other, because it's not like on the street and you can just walk in. I don't know, there's something about just not being able to just walk in there, but then also them having the piano thing, and it just feels very different than every other bar.
It's it's way more so, like, of the three sisters, I like to call them, so because I think they're all owned by the same people, so Depot, yes. Badlands, and Sidetracks. Like, Badlands is the bar you go to like when you want to go dance and it's loud music and it's a lot of people. Depot is kind of more of like the lounge video bar. They have pool tables. It's really like kind of sports bar-ish, if you want to say. I mean, that sounds garish, but like, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like, you know, like a real good chill spot. And then Sidetracks is just real chill. Like, you go up there, you overlook the street, you know, people are singing, good or bad. You get a little cocktail, and it's just like, it's very like, it feels like a family to me. Like, these are people you don't know, but like everyone is like supporting you because you're going up there singing. They're singing with you. They're trying to join you on the mic. You know what I mean? And so it feels very like family-esque.
I love that there's like another option for people that are, maybe people like singing, but like maybe they don't want to do like karaoke, or maybe they don't want to be around like the crazy dance party scene of a gay bar. But they still want to be around gay people. Maybe they like to sing. So it sounds like the piano bar thing is like the perfect situation. And I mean, I know for me, at least with like Sing Out Louise and Columbus, me, it's just a great way to meet people because it's super inviting. And I mean, and singing is fun. You know, it's fun. You know, you get to know people, and also I love it because there's like an activity.
Right.
So one of the things that people complain about with gay bars is that they can be boring because it's like, what is the intention, you know? So when you have like an event happening, it's cool because the event is like singing, it is about the piano bar, it's about watching the people sing, there's an event happening, you know? Whereas when you typically go to a gay bar, it's like you're going there either by yourself, to either like cruise or whatever, or you're going there, it's like, why do you go? So I think for people that feel a little insecure about going to a gay bar and feeling like super awkward, I feel like the piano bar would be like the perfect thing to go to. Even if someone doesn't sing, even if they just go there and just like, and if they don't drink, if they just want to have a cranberry juice and just kind of hang out with everybody and kiki, like, I just think it's the vibe is different. I think because it's live piano and someone singing live, I don't know, I just think it's different.
I love it.
Yeah, I think it brings out a different type of person there. People are like, that are more sociable, that want to hang out and talk and stuff.
Right.
You know, so I think it's awesome. So now I want to talk about the LGBT, the Sacramento LGBT Center. So so what do you do there? What is your job?
Ooh, job.
Or jobs?
My title is, I am the short-term, let me stop clapping. The short-term transition... emergency program, victim services, case manager. So,
okay.
Right? That's a lot of letters and a lot of words. So, what I do is we run the first ever in Sacramento shelter for unhoused LGBTQ youth.
Okay.
TAY youth, or transitional age youth, so they're 18 to 24.
Okay.
In those formative years where, like, maybe, you know, you got your life together or maybe you don't or whatever, but they are just, like, in those growing up years. 18 to 24 is very big years. And so I am the case manager for that program. What we do, it's a 90-day shelter in which we have 12 beds and 3 emergency beds if there's any kind of emergencies within our programs. And within the 90 days, we try to find them permanent, either permanent housing or a longer-term program. Because there's a lot of programs that are like a year or 2 years or 6 months or however long. So getting them into those programs and so they can eventually like either save the money or get into their own apartment or their own house or whatever they want to. So we're like the stepping stone for that. Okay. So we have somebody that does that specifically. Like they work on, my coworker Madi, they work on like going on the actual appointments and all that kind of stuff. Because finding affordable housing in Sacramento is almost impossible. Mm-hmm. So they do that part. I do everything else. So I work on, any long-term or short-term goals they have, any roadblocks that are stopping them currently from having housing. So like if they don't have housing because they don't have a job and they can't come up with rent, or they're not in school, or they don't have the education, or they didn't finish high school, or whatever that is, I help them plot those goals out and then work with them over that 12 weeks on how to get around those goals or those obstacles.
Okay.
But yeah, that's what we do. It's sometimes like the Bad Girls Club. I love them dearly. Right. I love them dearly. They're all great kids. Young adults, not even kids.
Right.
And you just see, I love that you see like the potential in them. Mm-hmm. Something really cool about the way my boss, so this program is new. I'm all over the place. No, this program is new. Yeah. We opened in July. I was hired in April. Okay. My boss was really...
Oh, that is what I know. So that was just like 6-7 months ago.
Right.
Okay.
Just a few months ago, right? And so my boss was really diligent with hiring folks that have like lived experience. So all of us have lived experience of some sort with homelessness or, you know, that kind of hardship. And so, like, it's not like you have someone that's like, I'm not the case manager. I'm like, oh, well, you should do this because, you know, I did this. But, like, I know where you've been or, like, a similar situation to what you've been. And, like, while our experiences might not be the same experience, like, I could kind of help you guide you through that experience. Yeah. And so that's super cool the way that they set that up. So, yeah, it's a really good project. And, I love it.
So how did you... So when you... like, how did you fall into this job? Was there just, like, you just saw it, like, on, I don't know, Monster.com or Career Builder? And it's like, oh, I want to apply for that job.
Yeah.
And actually, you applied, and then...
Actually, yeah. So I've always been in housing. I've always been in housing or working with adults or adolescents with special needs.
Okay.
And so it's always been, like, both at the same time. So, like, when I finished college, I was running a group home. Well, I started working in the group home for adolescents with special needs. Okay. And then I became the operations manager of the group home. So I did that for a few years. And then I went away and got my master's degree, and I worked at the college in their housing department. While I worked in their housing department, I also had a side job in which I was working, again, with adults with special needs. And then I moved to New Mexico, still working in housing, and then I had that overnight job in which I was working with adults with special needs. So I've always been, like, in housing. So over the last 10 years now, I've been in either housing or working with adults with special needs. And so when I was working, when I moved here and I started to do, when I was a job coach, I was looking for another job, like I always do. And I saw this one on Indeed, actually. It was on Indeed.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I was a little hesitant at first because, you know, being LGBT myself, I know my experience. I don't know anyone else's experience. I can't talk for anyone else's experience. And I'm always afraid I'm going to say the wrong thing or I'm going to, like, I'm ignorant. I don't know all the information. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, ooh, working for the center, like, you have to know your stuff. Like, you have to, like, you can't screw up this kind of thing. And so, like, I was a little hesitant at first even applying, but I was like, no, like, it kept calling to me because I was like, you have this lived experience. You've worked in housing forever. Like, this would be a great great program and project to be a part of. And so I applied, and for some reason they hired me, and here I am today. But yeah, like, it was on Indeed, and I just felt like when I saw it, it was like a hallelujah chorus. Like, this is what you're supposed to be doing. This is where you're supposed to be. This is why you're here. And so now I'm here.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, I love that. I mean, I just... I mean, it sounds like you have a job that's really like in the trenches, you know? Yes. And so, you know, you're dealing with people that society is like, you know what, I'm done with you. You know, fuck you. Like,
right.
you mean nothing to me. And so right. you're dealing with the people that really just need, like, actual help, like, real help. Like, I don't have a place to stay. Mm-hmm. Like, do you find yourself kind of always mentally on the clock?
Yes. Always mentally on the clock, even when I'm, like, when I'm off the clock. Like, I'll get a phone call, or they'll call me and say, hey, I'm going through a tough time right now, can we talk? Or, hey, this bitch said this to me. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm always right. de-escalating a situation. Right. And so, like, funny story. On Saturday, I was, I took the day to myself. I'm off on the weekends generally, but I took the day to myself. I went mm-hmm. wine tasting with a friend, and I was getting phone calls in Amador County about situations that were happening, and I'm like, oh, I'm never free from this. But the good thing is, like, while I know that, like, it's very go-go-go, it's very, like, tough impact on my life, and, like, my brain never stops working when it comes to work, I know that it's for a good reason. I know it's for a good cause. And I know that, like, eventually, hopefully, 10 years from now, when these kids are, like, you know, in their own place with their own families and doing their own thing, they're like, you know, Mo helped me out with this. You know, they won't push me down the steps in my wheelchair or anything like
right,
that.
Right.
You know?
Right. They won't throw, like, marbles. They,
right, you know, right. You know? So, but yeah, I do find myself taking work home a lot. And so I try to do things like do the chorus or see a movie or hang out with friends, go to brunch, go to piano bar or whatever to kind of like get out of that mind frame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, yeah. I mean, it's just, it's one of the things I feel like every major, well, not only every major city in the U.S. needs to have like an LGBT center. There's so many smaller communities that don't even have these resources, you know?
Yeah.
Like, where I'm from in Auburn, you know, in Placer County, like, mm-hmm. I don't know if there is, like, an LGBTQ center up there or, you know, there's clearly queer people everywhere.
Right.
But in terms of, like, there being a center, like, where there is someone specifically helping, like, queer, like, young adults, like, 18 to 24, mm-hmm. with, like, transitional housing or helping them to find a job or even just the emotional support. Like, I just think about all of these areas that, like, maybe there are young adults up there that maybe could use the services in, like, the LGBT center.
Right.
You know? And so, I guess for those people that are listening and maybe they have a situation where like they could where they need something like this or someone knows someone that could use this type of service, like who should they contact, like how do they contact the center, like how do they find all the things?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess your first main point would be going to the center or calling the center and saying like, hey, I need this sort of resource. And then they will divert you into which path you need to go. So if you're 18 to 24 and you need housing, they'll connect you to me. If you're above 24 and you need legal assistance, they will connect you with my other coworker or whatever that is. And so I would say just like going to the website and like seeing what they have to offer. Or even if they don't say what they have to offer specifically, if you have something that you need, like, hey, I need help with getting an ID or getting a license, and I'm unhoused right now, calling the center, because we do that. We, like, have ID vouchers you can have or mm-hmm. testing or a plethora of things. So just, like, calling or going in.
Awesome.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So what is a ID voucher? Like, what does that mean?
So, like, okay, so, you know, like, when you want to get your license or whatever, you just go in, you have to bring your paperwork, and then, like, you pay them, and you go. Right. Sometimes, like, if you don't have money, or if you can't pay however much it is, like, the full amount, you can pay, like, a reduced, like, maybe half of it. We have those vouchers, so, like...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we'll give you a voucher, we'll fill it out, and then you'll take it to DMV, and they'll give you your ID for free, or reduced cost. And so, just things like that. Just different resources that I didn't even know existed.
Right, yeah, that's why I'm really curious. Like, that is awesome.
Yeah. You
know? Because there are some people, like, I'm trying to put myself in a situation where, you know, if I were, like, 19 years old and I, you know, lived somewhere near Sacramento and I'm a queer person and I had a situation where I became, like, homeless overnight and didn't have any friends and didn't have any money and, you know, was trying to figure out, like, what would I do? And it sounds like really the center is a place where that person can just go in and say, listen, this is my situation. I don't have a place to live. I don't have any money. You know, I'm queer. You know, I'm, you know, just afraid because of just my life circumstances.
Right.
And it sounds like the center really is kind of a place that really takes those people and really finds ways to help them the best we can with like their just getting their life back together and just like finding just like really creating like, you know, a safe space for them to be able to like have housing, to be able to hopefully find a job and just find just comfort, you know, to know that someone cares.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's super admirable that you're in like a job like that. I mean, that is awesome.
Yeah, and I love everyone I've ever worked with for the most part, but like this group of people that I work with now, you know, within housing and also within the center, like they're working their asses off, like tirelessly to get things done and to help folks. And like sometimes it's a little return, sometimes there's no return, and you know what, they don't do it for that. And so like, yeah, they're great people.
I love it. So so since we're going towards the end of the podcast, I wanted to know if you could, in terms of like your job, if there are like three things that you wanted people to know about your job or just in general about it, what would those three things be?
Yes. So like I said before, we are, maybe I haven't said it, we are the first LGBT youth shelter in Sacramento. There was a poll done last year, and of the people that are unhoused who have registered or are registered unhoused, there are 700 people that are currently on the streets right now in Sacramento, which is a lot of fuck ton of people.
Wow.
Of that 700 folks, 250 of them are LGBT. DQ plus. And so, yeah. So, like, right? We have, we're starting. We have a 12-bed shelter. My goal is to branch off from that eventually at some point, and like have more shelters and like some more housing for folks. I know the city's also doing stuff too, so that's fantastic.
Right.
But there are 250 people that are registered, and that's only registered folk.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's pretty tough. The way my job is, right, the way it's built is like, I'm the case manager, but I'm also the perceived authority, right? And so like, I'm always the one that's like holding the house meetings, the ones that like if there needs to be some kind of discipline of some sort, like that's me, or any of that stuff. And so like I try to like share those successes, and like when I see glimmers of like hope or happiness, or like they are really like stuck on this idea, let's take this, let's run with it, because it's really hard, especially when you're, you know, coming fresh off the street, or whatever situation it is. And you come in, you're thrown into an environment with 11 other folks, you know, 10 people who are the staff, and then 11 folks who also are have trauma or have gone through traumatic experiences. And then you sit down in front of me and I'm like, all right, now what do you want to do with the rest of your life? And so like I try to take it real easy and like break it down. So I tend to, it tends to come off real fatherly. And like I get why my parents would be like, you child, because like I tend to like get them confused and I'm like, damn, I love these kids, but I want them to get out of my house. Like, you know what I mean? So that happens a lot too. And we're always taking donations. I'm gonna throw this donation.
Do it, yes, please.
So we're always, so we're funded by the city, we're funded by grants, but we're always taking donations. So if you wanna send me a donation, feel free. I'll give you my contact information. But yeah, we're always taking donations of just like cleaning supplies. We actually just this winter had asked all the kids what they wanted for Christmas, just like different, or for the holidays, so like different gifts or whatever, and they gave us all a list. And people in the community bought those gifts.
Awesome.
And donated everything. So everything was bought and donated. So that was awesome to give them something. But yeah, we do that all year. So like, if y'all want to ever donate cleaning supplies, laundry supplies, fresh new clothing, all that kind of stuff.
Like, yeah, I'm gonna say, what are typically like the biggest needs?
Yeah, yeah. The biggest. So it's funny because the biggest needs are always, like I said, like those cleaning supplies and stuff like that, because you never know how many rolls of toilet paper you don't have until 12 people are using the bathroom at once in a house. You know what I mean? And so, like, the biggest needs are like toilet paper, laundry detergent, trash bags, feminine products, body wash, soap, shampoo, toothbrush, toothpaste, just different like, okay, so like hygiene. Yeah, the toiletries, the hygiene products.
Okay, that's good to know. Cool. All right. This is good to know for me. I mean, there's so much.
Yes.
So much about like you and musical theater, piano bars.
Hello. I'm just like a little box of a gift that you just opened up.
All right. Hallelujah. Stupid. And it's cool. But then it's cool to know also about, you know, the LGBT center, you know, just about like what you do. And I never knew. So it's cool to know what you do. I mean, that's so admirable. That's awesome. And I'm sure you don't get enough accolades. You know, we're all living our lives doing our own things.
Yeah.
You probably don't clearly get enough people that say thank you for what you're doing. But, like, that is, I mean, you're on, like, the ground floor of getting people, like, healthy, which is awesome.
And honestly, like, I don't do it for people to pat me on the back. I don't do it for any of that. Like, I literally have this experience. I was unhoused myself at some point. And so, like, if I didn't have folks to, like, drag me through it, like, I don't know where I would be. And so, like, I feel like I'm basically glad that I can give back. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Cool. All right. And a number of these things I'll put in the show notes. So I'll put, because I'm sure the center has, like, an Instagram page and a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. I'll probably put their website on there. And so, and then a phone number as well. So if someone doesn't maybe have access to the internet or something, they can at least, like, write down the phone number. And so just to find, just to make it as easy as possible.
Absolutely.
To find all of the resources they need.
And it's great that you said that, because, like, you're right. Some people don't have phone numbers. Some people are phones. Some people only have, you know, or a working phone. Some people only have access to the internet, so they can only do email, or they can only do Facebook or stuff like that. And so, like, yeah, we'll put all that in there so that they can reach out.
Yep. And I'll put the address as well, just so that they know. So if they don't, if they just need the address to go or whatever, you know, just to make it as easy as possible.
Fantastic.
So, all right. Well, thank you.
Of course, Fred.
Cool.